We have a very, very distinguished and special guest speaker with us this morning. And we all know and love Sue. If you don't know Sue, she is just a wonderful representation of Christ. She's a faithful member of our church. And if you knew her husband, Gary, what a tender, beautiful man he was as well. But Sue is also our prayer coordinator and just is a prayer warrior. I know that if you were to ask her to pray, she will pray and bring your petition to the Lord. And so I've asked Sue to come and just share with us some thoughts about what God has put on her heart. And I know that we will be blessed and encouraged by her ministry with us today.
Good morning. When the pastor comes towards you, sometimes you want to run. And when he approached me about doing this, I kind of laughed because I've done everything in the church there's to do, from cleaning to song leader to everything, missionary and ladies group, taught all the different ages, but I've never been in the pulpit. And so we shall see how this goes. But today, when I first told John, I said, let me pray about it. Well, God said yes. And it settled me that he was trusting me to deliver. And what he put in my mind was standing on the promises. Thank you for playing that. So, first of all, what is a promise? A promise is a declaration or an assurance that one will do a particular thing, that it will happen. And so things, when we make a promise, we're not just promising the person, we're promising God. And so the first promise in the Bible was made to a woman. Happy Mother's Day, ladies. The first promise was made to Eve, and it's God making a promise to Eve that she will bear children and raise them up. So happy Mother's Day. You were the first person that God thought of when he started making his promises. In the Bible, there are 8,810 promises. 7,487 of those promises are from God to mankind. So I have a list of promises here, and Sammy's going to put them up one by one as we discuss them. Am I in your way, Sammy? Okay. First promise is God will guide us. Psalms 48:14. Did somebody look that up? And I'll give you a list of promises. The next one's going to be Psalms 37:40 if somebody wants to grab that one. So Psalms 48:14, God will guide us. I'm only going to do 10 promises because it might take a little long to get through all 7,487.
Are you wanting someone to read it?
Yes, please.
48:14. With us, God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. Amen. Yeah.
So what types of things does God guide you with? Decisions?
Yes.
Direction? Points that you need to make, ways to live,
never leave us.
Never leave us. Number two, God rescues us. Psalms 37:40. So, what kind of things has God rescued you from? A mistake, maybe, that you were going to make? A direction you were going, but he says stop, turn around, go back. Anything that God has blessed you with as far as rescuing you?
He sent me somebody to fix my car.
Praise God.
He sent somebody into my life that was going to be my best friend. Yeah. Help her.
That's a big praise there. When God matches you with the right person, it's such a joy. And it is a rescue, because without the right person in your life, it is just, there's no reason in being together. So anyhow, praise God that He does rescue us. God is with us. Deuteronomy 31:8. And if somebody wants to look up 1 John 5:14 and 15, that'll be the next one. That is one of the great promises to me. He promises He will be with me no matter where I go, even if it's up front in church talking. 1 John 5:14 and 15.
This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of Him.
Amen.
What a promise. He hears us. He knows it. We may not get our answer the way we want it, but He hears us and He acts upon it in His time. That's a great promise. The next one is Psalms 55:22. This one is basically saying God will carry us. That's what He's doing with me today, you guys, because this, like I say, I've done practically everything else in church, but this is new to me, and at the same time, God gave me peace about coming up and doing this. What types of things has God carried you in?
Doing my taxes.
Yes. Finances is the first thing that came to my mind.
Grandkids?
Yes, yeah.
Amen. Being a helpful person.
Being helpful.
Helping people out.
That's wonderful, yes. Anybody else?
How much time you got?
We got a few.
Taking care of your health?
Yes, He takes care of our health, that's for sure. Okay, number 6 is Psalm 73:26.
My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Now, isn't that a wonderful promise? On my own, I am not strong. I am weak. But with God as my strength, He gives me courage. How about you? What has God done in your life? I'm sure each of us have faced situations that are unpleasant. Yes, yes. When we find ourselves doubting our own strength, then we're not doing it right. We need to not doubt God's strength, because God wants to be our strength.
Amen. Praise God.
Okay, here's a big one. This one here. Philippians 4:19. God will always provide. Go ahead. I hope somebody's got that.
My God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus.
Praise God. My husband and I, we traveled the U.S. doing chainsaw artist is what he was, and he had a contract with Lowell's, and we went all over and he did shows for them. And we got into Missouri one time, Carthage, Missouri. And we were down to like $2 in our bank account. That was it. See, we said, Lord, You are our provider. We trust in You. And we were driving around town. This guy started following us. We'd pull over and he'd try to stop. Finally, we pulled into a parking lot. And he pulled up and he says, what are those on the back? Where'd you get those? And Grace says, well, they're chainsaw carvings. And I make them. And he said, would you mind following me to my house? I know my wife wants to see these. Mind you, we had $2, darn you. That man ended up buying $1,500 worth of carvings off the back of our truck, and we had to stop, and he made some more for the show we were going to do. But he did that with Gary's unique adventurous attitude. He never doubted God. He knew God was going to provide what we needed. And we'd strike out sometimes and find ourselves alongside the road. He'd send us an angel to get us the help we needed. That particular angel I'm talking about gave us his car for the day while he was at work so we could get everything done and to our car. God is amazing. He works miracles. Okay. And number 8, God has given us authority. And that's Luke 10:19. He has given us authority. Evil has no grasp on us because God has given us authority over it. So we need to trust in that promise in our decisions and our life that Satan can't enter where God is. So keep God in your heart and you have his authority. Number 9, he has given us peace. Isaiah 54:10. And yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil because he has given me peace, right? We have peace. We can turn it all over to God, and he is the one that will take care of it. We don't have to worry about it. And in Galatians 6:9, God will give us the ability to persevere.
That's right.
No matter what we're going through, God has it, God will handle it, and we will persevere. That's a great promise in all things. I'm sure you've all had times in your life when you just couldn't see how you were going to win the battle, but God got you through it.
Amen.
The greatest promise, of course, is John 3:16. You want to recite it with me? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should not perish but have everlasting life. And God is a promise keeper. So we've had all these promises. Now we have scripture, Psalms 145:13. Psalms 145:13.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and loving toward all he has made.
So God is a promise keeper. We can stand on these promises because God has made them. God does not rebuke on a promise. He keeps his promises. We know this because in Hebrews 6:18, it tells us God, it's impossible for God to lie. So if somebody wants to read that one. And the next one is Hebrews 10:23. So Hebrews 6:18.
God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged.
So the Bible tells us God cannot lie. He keeps his promises. Hebrews 10:23.
Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful.
Amen.
God is faithful. He keeps his promises. So what does it mean to stand on the promises? It means to have complete assurance in their fulfillment and to live in the faithful service of, for the one who died for us and who made those promises. Our part is to believe in the promises of God with unwavering faith. So they're more important than the promise is our faith, because without our faith, God may not hear a promise. We have to have faith to have that. So thank you very much for letting me have some time with you today, and back to John.
Amen. Thank you. Great promises. Wow, we needed to hear that today. Thank you, Sue, for taking us to God's Word and sharing your heart with us. A couple of quick things before I let you go. Take your hymnals and turn to responsive reading number 8. Responsive reading number 8. This is the Apostles' Creed. And I want us to read this together. This is the earliest Christian creed that was formulated in the first century. And stand with me as we read this together. Number 8, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. I had us read this morning because starting this Wednesday night, we will be doing an in-depth study on the Apostles' Creed. The meaning, the significance, the origins, the purpose of how this very important creed came about and its significance for our lives and faith in the 21st century. And so, starting this Wednesday night, 6:30 up in Cook Hall, we're going to start at 6:30 sharp, and we're just going to dive into a very deep, significant study of this important Apostles' Creed. Today is Mother's Day, and we do appreciate all the women and the mothers in our lives. I've got a short 3-minute video for you to watch this morning.
When we think of a mother's love, we often associate it with warm hugs, nurturing care, and comforting words. But a mother's love is so much more than that. It's a fierce and unwavering force that transcends time and space. A love that endures through all of life's trials and tribulations. Mothers are the backbone of our families, the pillars of strength that hold everything together. They are the ones who bear the weight of the world on their shoulders, who sacrifice their own needs and desires to provide for their children. They are the ones who show us what it means to be resilient, to persevere in the face of adversity. A mother's love is a powerful thing. It is the foundation upon which we build our lives, the rock that we can always turn to when everything else is falling apart. It gives us the courage to take risks, to pursue our dreams, to become the best versions of ourselves. But being a mother is not just about providing for our practical needs. It's also about teaching us important life lessons, showing us how to be kind, compassionate, and resilient. It's about being there for us when we need a shoulder to cry on, a listening ear, or a word of encouragement. The impact of a mother's love is immeasurable. It shapes the way we see ourselves, the way we interact with others, and the way we approach the world. It gives us a sense of purpose and belonging, a deep sense of connection to something greater than ourselves. So let us honor and celebrate the mothers in our lives. Let us acknowledge the sacrifices they have made, the challenges they have overcome, and the unwavering love they have given. Let us thank them for all they have done and continue to do, and let us never forget the powerful impact they have on our lives. To all the mothers out there, know that your love is a beacon of hope in a world that can be challenging and chaotic. You are the ones who show us what it means to be strong, to be resilient, and to be compassionate. You are the ones who make the world a better place, one child at a time. Thank you for all that you do, and know that your love and dedication are appreciated, admired, and cherished more than words could ever express. So let's celebrate the power of a mother's love. It is a force that can move mountains, and it is something that will stay with us forever.
Amen. So we just want to say thank you, mothers. You know, the Bible tells us to honor our fathers and our mothers, and we just want to show our appreciation and our love to all the ladies here today. And on your way out, I will be holding this bucket of flowers at the front door. And ladies, on your way out, I would love to give you a flower, just a small token to say we love you and we appreciate you. And I'm just grateful for my mother, for my wife, and for all the ladies in my life, for how you pray for me and encourage me and bless me. So would you stand with me, and I just want to pray a prayer of blessing over everyone, but especially the ladies here today. And we just hope that you have a wonderful, blessed day. Thank you again to Sue, who models for us how to live the Christian life. And we can't thank you enough, Sue, for you blessing us, not just with your words, but with who you are. Lord, we thank you first and foremost for your many blessings. We heard some amazing promises of Scripture today, and I didn't want Sue to stop at 10, but your word is filled with promise after promise after promise that if we just hold on to will be sufficient to help us through life and to help us through the trials that we face. For your word, your promises stand forever. We've had promises made and broken to us. We've all been there. We've all done that. But your word stands alone and stands forever. And so thank you for the beautiful reminder that was given to us today from a beautiful follower of Jesus Christ that we trust and love and admire. For all the ladies here today, I thank you for you blessing us with their lives, their presence, their insight. Obviously, women are very different than us men. And as a man, I can say thank you, Lord, for that. And I thank you for my own mother, for my wife, for my daughter-in-law, for my sister-in-law, and for all the women in my life, for all the ladies in our church. May they know that they are loved and appreciated, and I pray you pour out your deepest, richest blessings upon them. Thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you for a wonderful Mother's Day, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. And all God's people said, amen. 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 God be with you. God bless you. And I would love to give you a flower on your way out from church this morning. Have a great Lord's Day.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who was. while we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise, 'cause we were the blessed.